May the Lord help us to commence by singing from the hymn sheet, hymn 372. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's wall surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. Hymn 372.
Oh, read together from the most holy word of God from the first book of Samuel, the first chapter, and then chapter 2 down to verse 11. The first book of Samuel, chapter 1, and then chapter 2 down to verse 11. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah spake, as she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly, and let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. And the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. May the Lord bless us that portion of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind, gracious, eternal, ever merciful Lord God, thou hast brought us even into thy courts again this evening hour, lengthened out our time here upon the earth. The door of mercy still stands open to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. We're still upon praying ground, and all that might be found in thy courts this night, each one of us, sinners indeed, those made sensible by the power of the Holy Spirit working within them. O Lord, may it please thee, all that thou hast worked mightily in the heart of each one, all that thou wouldst so touch them, and bring them to that place, that time of need, where they cry unto thee for mercy. For, O Lord, thou knowest the heart of each one, and all the desire. And, O Lord, we look back to that time when we were yet dead, and our desire was to the things of the earth, things that are perishing, things that will be burned up in that latter day. O Lord, and so it was, our heart was fixed upon them, and our desire was after them. But, O Lord, may it please thee, as it was, we trust to this poor sinner, thou didst put forth thine hand, and it was thus far thou shalt go and no further. Thou didst put forth thy hand and touch us, thou didst arrest us in the pathway. And, O Lord, we were then brought to that place, where there was that desire after thee and after thy righteousness. And so, O Lord, what a mercy it is thou didst not leave this poor sinner. We are with that form that had no power. Thou didst not leave us in that place of satisfied with that form and dead rounds. But, O Lord, thou didst quicken us. Thou didst breathe upon our dry bones. And, O Lord, may it please us, breathe upon one or another even this night. Breathe upon them by the blessed Spirit, that there might be that new life found within. For, O Lord, we cannot do this of ourselves. It is the Spirit's work. And so, by thy almighty power, Lord, do condescend even this night to come in and make one with us. And, O Lord, cause the dead to cry, as thou dost breathe upon them, and there they cry for their living soul. That cry might come forth from the lips, give me Christ, or else I die. That cry from the lips, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, may it please thee. Lord, we fast hasten on. We know not whether we shall be spared to see another day, let alone another Sabbath day. Oh, time does hasten on. And so, O Lord, stir us each up. And Lord, may it please thee, prepare us each, O Lord, for that day. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, make, O Lord, work mightily, O Lord, we plead. O Lord, raise up that sinner out of the dunghill, they may be truly found amongst those sons and daughters by blessed adoption, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. For, O Lord, truly that day does hasten on. And, O Lord, we know not when the bridegroom shall appear. May be found then like those wise virgins that had that oil of grace in their lamps. They had also that oil of grace in their vessels. And so, O Lord, they were prepared. But, O Lord, we look back to that time when did we not sleep, as it were, that sleep of death? We were unconcerned. We did not consider the end of our life. We did not consider eternity. But, O Lord, may it please even this night that there might be that tremendous sound to a sinner doomed to die. If we're spared to 100 years of age upon this earth, it is before men a long life. But what is that compared to all eternity? But as nothing. It is as nothing. And so, O Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, so stir them up, cause them to cry, breathe upon them. And, O Lord, what a mercy, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And, if it could please thee, then even this night, there's perhaps one that has quickened, there is that desire. Lord, may it please thee that thou wouldst condescend to that one in this night, like it was with Zacchaeus of old, this day. Is salvation come to thy house? There was that desire was a knot wrought in him, and nothing would hinder him. He climbed that tree as a man of small stature. He climbed that tree to see who he was. He heard of this man Jesus, and he climbed the tree to see who he was. There was that day appointed. That day appointed. Did thou not call him by name? And he came down. And there was that confession, was there not? He was made tender in the fear of the Lord. That time appointed. Oh, perhaps it may be that time appointed unto one or another this night. They led into the banquet house. Gone to be with one that is a sinner. Oh, the Pharisees, they were astounded, were they not? They were astounded, couldn't understand it. That one that was a sinner, where the Lord came down, it was that time appointed. Salvation has come to thy house. Oh, led into the banquet. That time when the banner over them was love. Oh, that time when may it please you then. Oh, that thou wouldst come and make one with one or another. For truly thou dost still, even in our day, condescend to eat with publicans and sinners. And, O Lord, may it please thee then. Oh, thou knowest that one that creeps into thy courts. They tremble at thy word. They do desire thee. And they long to know their title clear to mansions in the sky. They long to hear their pardon sealed. They long to see that which thou hast done. And they may be now to say, it was for me. He died that I might live, for crimes that I had done. Oh, to see them, their sins laid upon thee there, that spotless lamb. In thy sufferings, when thou didst suffer for the sinner, the just for the unjust. Oh, that place in Calvary. Oh, and it, is it not so that it will melt the heart when thou dost lead a poor sinner there and see what their crimes are done to the Lord of life and glory? When they see there as we often feel in our heart, that if my sins alone were laid upon thee, it would have caused the hidings of his Father's face. It would have caused the dear Lamb of God to cry out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it will soften the heart, it will melt the heart. It will cause that one to weep before the Lord. And so, Lord, do lead one or another, even to the Garden of Gethsemane, to the foot of the cross, but to see the empty tomb, and to see thee now as that one, that glorious high priest that sitteth on the right hand of the Father, that intercede for them. That glorious high priest that has a feeling for them in all their infirmities, and was tempted at all points, like as they are, as we are, yet without sin, but tempted, knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. Lord, may it please thee. Lord, do then open that one's eyes. Lord, anoint them with that eye salve, that they may see clearly those things of the precious gospel. Lord, we look back to that time when this poor sinner, we felt like that one. We saw men as trees walking. There was that measure of sight, but not the clearness of sight. And so, Lord, we had to plead that thou was anoint my eyes with that eye self. And blessed be thy holy name. We believe it was so. That is, bring us into the liberty of the gospel. And so, Lord, perhaps that one, there's that measure of light and liberty and sight and movement. But it needs thee to give the word, loose him, loose her, and let them go. It needs thee to anoint their eyes that they might see clearly. And so, Lord, remember such, we plead. Oh, may they be brought to that time rejoicing, where, Lord, may they not, if they're so wrought upon, Lord, bring them to that time where they would open their mouth and cause them to speak of a few things that thou hast done for their never-dying souls. Oh, a few things, they are great things, are they not? Lord, in order to testify and to tell out to sinners round What a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood, and say, behold the way to God. And so, Lord, remember each one from the youngest here to the oldest, the babes in arms, and through the various ages to those that are at the other end of lifespan. They begin to feel at times the mud-walled cottage shake. But, Lord, remember each one, we plead. Oh, leave none untouched. Lord, and we think upon our own family also, but each one that's got families here, and no doubt there are those burdens that one another carries for their young ones. Lord, oh, do grant them those encouragements as they plead for those. Lord, we trust that in that with our own heart and those that thou hast wrought upon, there is that desire to see it in others, and especially in our offspring, but also we pray for those with whom we have to do, those whom we know and love, and we long for that to be wrought in them. Oh, as we realise that that as we do face that which is before us, eternity, and we know that as a tree falls, so it shall lie, and then what? After death, the judgment. And all that might each be found in that day, clothed with thy righteousness, that spotless robe, that neither a spot nor a shadow of a spot upon the soul be found. Lord, it must be so. It cannot be otherwise. Oh, how solemn shall be the case if it is otherwise. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Oh, that place where the worm dieth not, where is eternal misery, is it not? Where the flame is not quenched. But, oh, Lord, leave us not then. Oh, we plead then for the youngest through to the oldest. Lord, each and every one. But also, as we said, our own families and our own family also. Lord, we plead for it. And so, Lord, as thou hast enabled us once again to gather in thy courts, favour us together now, we plead. Lord, gather us round thy word. Lord, thou knowest how we tried to speak this morning, and the burden still remains. Lord, enable us now to speak again, if it could please thee. Lord, open my mouth wide and fill it with those arguments. But, O Lord, leave me not to myself. May it be by the power of the Spirit, attending those feeble efforts as we feel it to be so. By the power of the Spirit, thou wast, do some poor sinner good. Thou wast meet them in the way. Thou wast grant them as encouragements that will yet appear for them. Lord, once again we will bear before thee those with any particular burdens, and if we're spared to another day, they have to return to those things, cares of this life. Lord, whether it is a young one in the midst of life, one bearing the family burdens, or one bearing the heat and burden of the day, those cares of the latter years, Lord, we have those things to return to if we're spared. Lord, do be pleased to go before each one, undertake and manage all by the way unto the end, and perhaps it is a very peculiar path, tried path. Lord, may they yet prove that perhaps which they fear that is before them, they prove that thou hast gone before them in the way, that thou hast made a way, that they may prove that those mountains flow down at thy presence, at the word of the Lord. And so, Lord, even as they even this night, as perhaps the burden begins again, Lord, thou knowest our hearts. We often caught up with the things of this life, the cares and the troubles, and they do burden us so. They lay us low, they bow us to the ground. We cannot lift ourselves up. They're so burdensome, are they not? We feel ready to faint in the way. But, oh Lord, enable us to roll those burdens upon thee. Enable us to cast our cares upon thee, for he careth for you. But Lord, we need that enabling grace, that strengthening grace. And oh Lord, how often we feel it is so, we have to cry like one, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, we can say on the one hand, perhaps, when a little faith is in exercise, there is nothing too hard for thee. Yet how often we are fearing and trembling. We wonder where the scene will end, and yet, O Lord, may we have that faith to believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his eternal purpose, that are at life's minutest circumstance is subject to thine eye. O Lord, do then grant that help to one or another in all that concerns them in the way. Lord, thou knowest, and only, Lord, in affliction, the walk in the path of affliction now, Lord, undertake for them, grant healing mercies, grant strengthening mercies, and hold them up and hold them on in the way. And Lord, perhaps when there is a fearing and trembling, Lord, do comfort their hearts. Draw near and go with them, O Lord. Perhaps they have those hospital visits or something like that, and there they tremble naturally. But oh, may they prove that, like those two of old, oh, what a mercy it should be. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Hast thou not said, I will never leave you, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. And so, Lord, do comfort them, undertake for them, manage all, manage all. Lord, at times we feel quite unable. Quite unable, brought to wit's end. But oh, is thy God able? Daniel proved his God was able. And how may we each prove that thou art able to do for us more than we can ask or even think. But Lord, do help us now. We're a company of poor sinners. Lord, may there be even this night a little gathering in the field of our heavenly bowers, a little gleaning amongst the sheaves. Lord, may it please us something already even this day, and perhaps that which has been attended to with the young people. Those gathering of the sheaves that they've taken home, there's been a beating out. Lord, may it please you again this night. But oh, if there is one, there is that purpose of grace. Thou hast that, it is that day appointed. Thou hast appointed to meet them even this day. Oh, may it please. They may gather those hands full of purpose. Thou commandest thy servants, whether it is here or elsewhere, thy servants are to let fall those hands full of purpose. Lord, do then grant thy blessing. And Lord, perhaps in the evening hour, as they return to their homes, such as that burning within them, they constrain thee to abide with them, and thou art pleased to abide with them. This day is salvation come to thy house. Lord, we plead for it. But grant thou that help. Lord, in all parts of divine service, whether it is in the hymns and the language, the experimental language, Lord, but all parts, Lord, do own and bless. But pardon and forgive now my many sins, our many sins, and all we've asked amiss. And where we've failed in our asking, do be pleased to make up in giving. We plead for Christ's sake. And his sake alone, pleading his precious blood. Oh, we plead his precious blood. We have no other plea but that thy blood was shed for me. We plead then for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 715. When the blessed day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost descended from above, sent by the Father and the Son to bring immortal blessings down and shed abroad God's love. Hymn 715.
Thank you.
and to gain independence upon the law, we'll try to go back to the verse we ventured to speak from this morning in the 42nd Psalm. The 42nd Psalm. And verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalm 42 and verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And oh, as we tried to speak then this morning, these are very real exercises of a child of God. In the beginning, but all at times when darkness a big clouds away, and perhaps we find and feel the hidings of the Father's face, perhaps on account of our sin and fresh contracted guilt, there he hides his face. But as we especially feel concerning that work of grace begun in our heart, that work of grace, there nothing else will content the heart, the living soul, but that view by faith of Christ in all his beauty, to view by faith this man that is the altogether lovely. Before we left, from our dear friends, there was laying on the side. I didn't pick it up, but it concerned that one Yeti. He saw yon lovely man. Testified of it. That was all his soul's desire. He could now come like Simeon of old. We finish this morning. And it was so that night, was it not? The Lord took him from time to eternity. But he'd seen yon lovely man. The Lord granted him his request. Did he not, like Simeon of old, he took up in the arms of faith. Took up in the arms of faith a precious Christ. There he saw that one that done all for him and rejoiced. He could leave time. He could leave all things of this life. There were no more, as it were, to him then, as such was that all-consuming love that was wrought in him. Christ revealed as the hope of glory, that one that had spoken unto him salvation into his soul. He saw that one by whom it was obtained. Rejoiced. Could he not then gather his feet up in his bed, and he was taken from time to eternity? Was he not that that night? I believe I can remember reading it aright. But he'd seen yon lovely man. His soul's desire was granted. And all that might be our soul's desire this side of eternity. Solemn thing if we never have that desire. A solemn thing, but that living desire. And as we tried to speak this morning, my mind was led to that portion we read in the first book of Samuel. We'll speak in that way spiritually. We haven't got time to enter too much into it, but in the spiritual manner, in the spiritual working that we've wrought in a child of God in their very soul, they will feel that host, that warfare that goes on within, like Hannah did here. She had an adversary. She had an adversary. And the psalm we read this morning, the 43rd psalm, we didn't enter into, read the 43rd psalm, but it's in a similar light, is it not, with that, why art thou cast down? But for thou art the God of my strength, why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. And in the psalm we read, in the 42nd psalm, it was there we read also, O sound of my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. While they say daily unto me, where is thy God? It does cast a soul down. It does cause that disquiet within. Becomes the most important thing in the life. It becomes the most urgent desire, a necessity, the greatest of necessities. Sound of my soul, I know we quoted this morning, but for the Lord to sound of my soul, your soul, is that your desire? Sound of my soul, I am thy salvation. But perhaps you still feel like Hannah here. But you've gone up to the house of the Lord. She went up to the house of the Lord. We know there was probably over a number of years it was so. And the Lord appeared, forsaken her quite. Where is now thy God? Where is now thy God? Oh, sound of my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Does that speak your case? Does that speak your exercise of soul? The word of God is left for our instruction, for our help, our encouragement in the way. It is not just haphazard, as it were, various books put together, but it's the word of God. It is by his grace that poor sinners, that he leads them in the way, guides them in the way, leads them into his truth. And encourages them in the way. Oh, may the word of the Lord encourage some poor sinner in the way this day, as we try to speak this morning. May it be again this night. Bitterness of soul. You come up again, and it seems like you come up again and again. Bitterness of soul. I believe we said this morning, that one at Bethesda's pool, 38 years. 38 years of you. Do you feel like that one? There's that complaining within, if we can put it in that way. You see another one has received the blessing. You hear them speak. And it's sorrow. It causes sorrow. Bitterness of soul. The world knows nothing of this. Dead professors know nothing of this. This is a quickened soul, a child of God, one who is breathed upon. There's that life within. There's no bitterness beforehand. Before the Lord began that deep in that work in me, there was no bitterness. But then there was that bitterness of soul. As I said, look at those that sat down to the Lord's table, and verily felt my name was left out. Never be found around the table and gathering with such poor sinners there, as they've been so blessed and favoured in their souls. And so it seemed, bitterness of soul. I may have said this before, but when the Lord's servant those years ago used to take, Mr. Seymour, when he used to take the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, it was an encouragement to this poor one that the Lord would may yet be gracious to this undeserving sinner. There was a little hope raised up, just a faint hope, when he used to say, when he took the ordinance, there yet is room. There yet is room. Is that an encouragement to one that's waited and still waits, longs for that time, longs for the Lord to say, loose him, loose her, and let them go? There yet is room. That day of grace has not ended. There yet is room, but bitterness of soul. There's nothing like bitterness of soul. It's a bitterness that we cannot describe, but bitterness of soul. That bitterness of soul. Is that you prayed unto the Lord, and yet he seems silent. Answers not a word, like the dear woman. He answered her not a word. We read of in the Gospels, do we not? The trial of her faith. It's a trial of your faith, to see of what sort it is. There were many in the Lord's day that were offended at his word. They turned aside and walked no more with him. If the Lord has begun that work in your heart, as I trust he did in mine, it'll be like this. To whom can we go? To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Though at times damped our faith, and we're ready to give up. But then there's a little crumb of mercy. To say that those words are yet his room's a little crumb. A crumb that my soul, as it were, gathered up. That kept my soul alive, kept my soul waiting and praying and longing, still in bitterness, prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Does that then, as we said just now, does that describe your case? Does that describe your burden? And it's been long like it. You feel that enemy within, enemies without. Year by year, we read, so he did year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord. An adversary year by year also provoked her. What shall we see in the Shulamite but a company of two armies? Like one cried out, if it be so, why am I thus? It seems a contradiction, does it not, when we the Lord's servants may, or one may say, there is that mark of grace. It doesn't feel like it, does it? Bitterness. Bitterness. But that time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only, and to say, being able to say, not only that he shed his blood, but he shall say for me, wert thou cast down on my soul? Why thou disquieted within me? That one, as we read it in that psalm, it went up to the house of God also, the psalmist. Went up with those that kept holy day. As we said this morning, there they went up with a voice of joy and praise. A multitude that kept holy day. But there you're in a lonely path, bitterness of soul. Hath the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? But that trial of faith, that woman that went to the Lord concerning her afflicted daughter, there she was brought to that place, but I know more than that dog. She would have rejoiced in the crumb that fell from the master's table. And so you also, if you receive a crumb, but there it was, she received the blessing, she received that what her soul desired. Bitterness. Gone up to the house of the Lord. Amongst those that kept holy day, those went up with joy and praise, and bitterness. We felt, we're thinking about it, the past day, it is a very lonely path. Some may try to sympathise with you, but it's a personal lonely path. Yet not alone, but it feels like that, a very lonely path. No man can sympathise with you. They may try to, even in that kindly manner. We want the Lord to speak. Want the Lord to speak. Sound of my soul, I am thy salvation. Want the Lord to say it. But bitterness of soul. Prayed unto the Lord, wept sore. Have weeping been your meat and drink? Weeping before the Lord, longing for the Lord to speak peace and pardon into your soul, to bring you to that time, when you can rejoice. As we said, we also read Psalm 77. And the language there, perhaps that suited your soul this morning. The day of trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night. That sore, what is it? Is that dire contagion you feel within? That which courses through your veins, that which you know, if it's not cured by the blood of Christ, will end in eternal death. That precious blood made known to you, applied by the Spirit, the application of it. As we know, we often quote, and perhaps again this night, Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal to me the things of God. Make to me salvation known, and witness with the blood, that precious blood. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. And that dark contagion, that bitterness of soul. Especially as we said, and we keep saying, we see that day approaching. We realize our years fast hasten on. Make me right and keep me right. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord, my sore ran in the night. And dear Hannah, she went up this time. It was that time appointed, was it not? But oh, how we can mistake even those of the Lord's people. And we can look upon the outward appearance, and so even the Lord's servant, he looked upon her outward appearance, thought she was drunken. Such was that bitterness of soul. That burden she carried. And as we when put it spiritually, so is that bitterness of soul, that burden you carry. Others may look upon you and they mistake, as it were, the symptoms. But the Lord looks upon the heart. The Lord knows your heart. Now, Hannah, such was that bitterness of soul. She got to the point where her lips moved. Do you get to the point, poor sinner, you feel, can't pray anymore? Can't pray anymore. The adversary tempts you, as we said a little earlier, tempts you to give up and no more call upon his name. And you got to that point when, groaning, sighing, that burden, the upward glancing of the eye, the falling of a tear. Now, Hannah, she spake in her heart, the Lord will pour out upon you that spirit of grace and supplications. It doesn't come forth always with words. When that one's brought to its end, there will be wit's end in such a condition as this, where that bitterness of soul. Now, Hannah, she spake in her heart. Spake in her heart. The upward glancing of the eye. The eye of faith looks up. The eye of faith looks up. When the flesh is ready to give up, no more call upon his name, the eye of faith looks up. Though damned, it shall never die. Her lips moved, no sound came forth, and Eli thought she was drunken. But when Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. Are you of a sorrowful spirit? As I said, when the Lord began and deepened that work in my soul, sorrowful spirit. I can remember once, I believe, one of the younger ones, the children came in and wondered why I've been weeping.
sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Ah, not in words, but ah, that burdened soul, as we said, ah, what a mercy it is, that one that has a feeling for us in all our infirmities, that one that was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, but knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. Ah, he knew, ah, she didn't have to speak. And just the burden, that burden went out, ah, from her spirit, from her heart. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Oh, as we said, ah, how man can get it wrong. There was that tenderness of spirit, was it not? Ah, tender in the fear of the Lord, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Ah, as we said, tender, ah, tender in the fear of the Lord. Ah, perhaps there's been wrought in you the tender fear of the Lord. There's been a forsaking of those things which you once did and could go along with, but now, ah, new and living desires. Can't walk in those ways you once walked. And now that walking in the fear of the Lord. Yet, ah, this dear one, ah, mistaken. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint, the abundance of it. And what is that complaint to a poor sinner? Ah, the biggest of their complaints, the biggest burden. With this burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. Especially when you realise that one sin testifies against you. And what a sink of sin you've been brought to fill within. Ah, much to condemn you many times over. You know that, and you feel that your soul deserves an endless hell. But there is not a who can tell if the Lord will be gracious. Who can tell? There's a venturing again and put out of the abundance of my complaint. And grief have I spoken hitherto. Ah. Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And ah, is it not that one wit's end then? No more help in themselves. What do we read in Psalm 107 concerning, in the margin it says concerning wit's end? Wit's end. All their wisdom is swallowed up. Ah, you're brought to that place, helpless and hopeless. No man can deliver. And all your own wisdom and strength and ability, ah, is swallowed up. No more help in self. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. You feel it so. Ah, that dark contagion, there which continues to course through your veins. Ah, and the more you strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And ah, the Lord's servant here, was he not by the Spirit given that to speak unto her? And oh, may it please the Lord. We're about the servant, the Lord's servant, that instrument in his hands. We cannot take the word to ourselves, but all it may be by the power of the Spirit. There's such one that Hannah, all that one that so desires, longs to know. Their title clear to mansions, longs to know their peace and pardon sealed in his blood. Eli, it's not Eli's word. Well, Eli was the messenger with the Lord's message. Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Or may that be the word of the Lord unto some poor sinner. We are but the messenger. With the Lord's message. May it please thee. May it please the Lord so to do. Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. That little hope raised up then was it not? And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. May the Lord encourage some poor trembling worm Jacob, some poor trembling Hannah, or that one that longs to be like Simeon of old. They long to see their consolation in a precious Christ. And like Simeon of old, he gathered up took up their dear babe in his arms, and now I've seen myself thy salvation. Quoted aright, but all that might be unto one or another then this day, if it could be the Lord's will. Then there's that peace of God, and it's a peace that passeth all understanding. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." As we said, he proved this also. The world was no more to him. And it was that time appointed, was it not? A little later that day, he saw him without the veil between. Saw him without the veil between. Like dear Simeon here, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He saw that which it was yet to come, that was still to take place, sacrifice for sin. But he saw it and believed, like those of old. And so we live in gospel days, and we have it on record that took place, but yet we still walk by faith and not by sight. But mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel, the glory of the people Israel. But the time hastens on. But as we tried then, it came to my mind in such a way. And there was in time that blessing. There was a fruit found, was there not? There was a promise of it there, as we quoted just now. And she rejoiced in that promise. There was that hope raised up. She was strengthened in her faith. She said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And there was a knot in time to come. There was that fruit found. That which she longed for. Do you feel to be that barren one then? You feel don't bring forth any fruit. And it feels like you'll never bring forth fruit. To the joy and rejoicing of your soul, you feel to be that barren branch that deserved to be cut down and burnt up, but dig it about and dung it. Is it not that? May it please the Lord then to speak these words into your very soul, and may you prove like she did here. She was delivered of a child, was she not? That which her soul, that which she desired. And she went up to the house of the Lord, did she not again? And when she had weaned him, she took him with her, with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. Ah, that song of praise began, did it not there? There she was acknowledging what the Lord had done. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, shall he be lent to the Lord. Ah, that acknowledging it was not a man, it was the Lord that had done it. There would be a continual rejoicing and giving praise unto him. And there in the second chapter we read, and all may it be unto this poor Hannah, this one like Simeon of old, he rejoiced. Like dear Yeti of old, he rejoiced. Ah, and Hannah. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Oh, may it please then. May it please the Lord to so bring one into the liberty of the gospel. Loose him, loose her, and let them go. A time of deliverance, a time of love that will come. Like we said this morning concerning Zacchaeus, this day salvation come to thy house. Now when the Lord brought me into the liberty of the gospel, I believe in measure like Hannah here, my heart rejoiced. The very stones would have cried out had I not spoken of those things. The very stones would have cried out had I remained silent. And I believe, if the Lord, there'll be that, you will not feel that you can come very far. I will say much, but there'll be that little which puts a crown on his head. That little which gives him all the glory and all the praise. Ah, the Lord hath done it. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. And this poor sinner here. One time I couldn't speak, but desired that the Lord would appear. And the Lord did appear. The Lord brought into the liberty of the gospel. And open my mouth. Open my mouth. He'll open yours also. May he open some poor trembling Hannah, like one Simeon, or even like this poor one here. Can't seem to come very far. I wouldn't make a doctor of divinity or anything like that. But the Lord has taught me. Led me in the way. Raise me up out of the slough of despond and set my heart and my feet upon the rock Christ Jesus. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth. Nor what will cause your heart to rejoice? Is it not the desire to hear the Lord speak peace and pardon? Speak peace and pardon into your soul. If I can find the portion that came to my mind a bit earlier. But we read in Isaiah chapter 44. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. That sorrowful spirit. You felt forgotten, but not forgotten. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And then we read in the next verse there in Isaiah chapter 44, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Ah, that one that not forgotten of him. My mind also went to a portion also in Isaiah again. It concerns this song like Hannah could sing. What do we read in Isaiah chapter 51? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and shall come unto Zion, come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? Ah, she was afraid, was she not? There was that one, that adversary. And the Son of Man which shall be made as grass. And forgettest the Lord thy Maker that stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and as fear continually every day because of the fear of the oppressor. As if he were ready to destroy, and where is the fear of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared, the Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth. Ah, that blessing of the Lord, that promise of the Lord. I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Thou art my people. That blessing of the Lord, then, that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. And you will then rejoice like Hannah. That song, new song we put in the mouth, you will acknowledge it. Ah, the Lord hath done it. The Lord alone hath done it. He is not a man. Ah, and you've been delivered from your adversary. The Lord of hosts is his name. But oh, the time has gone. The time has gone. But oh, as we go back then to the verse we tried to speak from. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Shall yet praise him. It doesn't say might. These are the shells and wills of Jehovah. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £745, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening, and Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. Let us close with hymn 745. When Jesus would his grace proclaim, he calls the simple, blind and lame to come and be his guest. Such simple folk the world despise, yet simple folk have sharpest eyes and learn to walk the best. Hymn 745.
Thank you.
Oh, dear Lord, do be pleased then to answer some poor soul's request. Send them on their way rejoicing, giving thee all the honour and the glory. Oh, may we be found amongst those simple ones that thou hast taken in hand and are taught those glorious things of thy gospel. We plead for it. O Lord, do cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And Lord, do take us each now to our homes in peace and safety. Lord, remember us in the days to come, and prepare us each for that day when time shall be no more. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.